Welcome to episode 266 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There will be some links with more information available on the show page today, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. 3 years!
Yay! Jumped right in there.
Yeah, I don't know. This is our anniversary.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I feel anniversarized.
Used to anniversarized.
Sure.
Vacation.
There needs to be a verb version.
Yes.
And yeah. Why not?
I'm sorry. I'm very excited about
conferences. We use and abuse English all day, every day. Yeah. Links to what? What do
I know, there's a couple of little things that have popped up here and there that never really fit in a given episode. I thought there were more, and there turns out to be two.
Oh,
what? Speaking of, you know, the Dorg, my digital organisms.
Yeah.
Right? They're doing pretty good. I actually went to cover natural history for a while so that I could overhaul the software.
Oh, okay. Well, here's our buffer.
Which is almost done, both the buffer and the overhaul. It's acting a little squirrely. There's some testing and debugging I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember 3 years ago when even the digital organisms that became before the Dorg weren't even a glint in my eye, and I was all by myself, and I decided to do a podcast on science. It's been a blast for me. Every week is like an adventure. Often moving from relative ignorance to enough to at least give a thumbnail sketch of a topic.
Do you feel like we're making progress or as a
define progress? At least as far as the lab has been also research for the Dorg.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
It was a big mystery. How am I going to make the Dorg act multicellular?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because individual cells can build things that are more complicated than they are.
Oh, yeah.
Thus, we have a brain.
Isn't the ultimate a robot making a robot so that they can make more robots?
Now we're getting into NASA's report in 1982.
I didn't know there was background.
There's a big mystery. How do we get them to act multicellular? Well, the answer is treat them that way.
From the get-go.
So you got like a program analogous to their DNA. And instead of putting in a whole bunch of Dorg, each individual with its own DNA, you put in one Dorg who can reproduce itself by cloning.
Okay.
And then score that DNA based on what that population does as a whole.
Okay. So the.
And then you do that over and over and over again. It's going to take a lot longer.
That makes sense. Yeah. Your rules for who lives and dies.
Based on what they call group selection.
Yeah. I like this.
And there are other things involved in things acting multicellular, like communication,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly where I am now. I'm trying to figure out how to get little cells to talk to each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was watching this thing on termites.
Because
we use like social insects as a model of multicellularity. That's what I said.
Answer.
Termites, they're my favorite.
Okay.
Especially the big mound builders.
Right.
Because they have multiple problems to solve with these giant mounds. They're closed off from the outside, but the material they make it out of is porous, oxygen and CO2 can get through. And that is one of their big problems, is making sure that enough oxygen is around for them and the colony of fungus they're cultivating.
Is there fungus making them oxygen?
Fungus will use oxygen when it's available, yes.
Ooh, you gotta look out for termites. They're gonna make a spaceship.
It's not making oxygen, it's using oxygen.
Other way around.
If they make a spaceship, all the air would leak out through the porous stuff and everyone would die.
Yeah, awful. I know, but it's just like a layer of plastic.
So
over the
something comes along and breaks their nest, right? Like a badger who's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not such a big deal. Badger eats a whole bunch of them. He can waddle away stuffed in the gills.
Mm.
They're still not out of termites, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what they are terribly upset about is that the nest is broken.
Gaping hole, yeah. It's a badger-sized imprint in here.
And they're going to lose the moisture in their nest. They can't have that. The oxygen might not circulate. This fungus could die. They could die. It's all bad.
Oh, and they're wide open to other critters, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a terrible thing.
One of the things they do, though, is all gather together and overlap one another's antenna and sort of vibrate their antenna at each other.
Okay.
I'm not sure what level of communication is going on here. I'm used to ants where it's all chemical, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. They call it scent.
But the fact that they actually take the time to do this before trying to fix what they need to fix in a real big hurry suggests that there's definitely a crucial step happening here.
We must spread the panic and the plan.
Quick! The panic and the plan. Yeah. That's the name of my new band.
You have a lot of bands.
I do. They don't last for 3 years. remember the Portuguese man of war?
Yes.
Actually a colonial critter.
One of my favorites, yes.
Saphinophorms. These are cnidarians. What does that mean? They're polyps and jellyfish. And a few other critters, they have a body plan like an old sock, right? One hole at the top, you can stick your hand in. Yeah. And they only use the one hole. Yeah. They get together in this sort of matrix they make with one another. They attach to each other with tubes. Mm-hmm, they cover themselves in some kind of goo.
Yeah.
Hey, I look like a jellyfish.
Yeah.
The individual critters who make up the colony are called zooids.
Okay.
Yeah, but that is not a taxonomic description. It has nothing to do with the common ancestor of all zooids was the original zooid. Because there's this other thing called a pyrosum.
Okay.
And also a colonial creature made up of a bunch of like millimeter-sized critters they call zooids.
Okay. Yeah, hold on here.
But instead of being cnidarians, these are chordates.
Okay.
Same phylum as us, but a different branch called tunicates.
Oh, a lot of terminology going on.
Yes.
Here
right now. Yeah, okay. We'll get to the point.
I'm here.
These guys form really long, gelatinous, tube, ugly, nightmare of the deep things. Yeah, okay. Like one of the Saphinophorms, relative of the Man of War, could get more than 100 feet long.
Oof.
But it was no bigger around than my leg, right? Just this really long, hose-like critter. While these tunicates... The pyrosums, they can get 60 feet long. And the big end, they're sort of shaped like a tapering tube or a cone. Big end can be a good 8 to 10 feet across. You could swim into the damn thing if you really wanted to.
Okay, yeah. The ocean is scary.
They suck water out from around them.
Right.
Through their shared skin, goo, into the middle of the tube.
Uh-huh.
Which gives them a very slow but steady swimming pace. They are the ion drive of the sea.
Oh, yeah. We're going to look at all of the energy efficiency that we've got at 2 miles an hour.
They apparently communicate with one another with light.
What?
They are very brightly luminescent.
Oh, interesting.
In fact, you could go up and you could touch it. And a little bit of light will show up where you touched it, and then there'll be little waves of light traveling up and down the critter.
This is the neatest thing ever. Is this something, like, if you're skin diving in the Bahamas, do you get a run?
Definitely tropical is where they're usually run into. I don't know if the Bahamas in particular.
Well, I mean.
But yes.
Okay. I was wondering if I needed a submarine or not.
The light from one colony will actually get another colony to start glowing, too. It's contagious.
Yeah.
They're giggling. You can't tell because you don't speak light.
Yeah. Or yawning.
Well, yeah, I got fascinated because it's the only critter I found that communicates even vaguely multicellular-like with light because, when it's actual cells. We talked about that on Monday. With cells, the signals are mitigated by various kinds of compounds and other chemicals and ions and so forth.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I like that. This is a really smooth transition I just did.
That's great.
From whatever we will have been going to have said on Wednesday.
I'm crying right now.
You know what I like about our format? It's like practice for the day we finish our time machine.
We can fix all this crap.
Yeah. And get it in post. It's Monday.
Post is you. It is Monday. Congratulations.
I am post. It's good to be post.
It is a happy birthday.
To the lab?
Wait.
Well, yeah. There's no singing first off, so.
And I think that's still copyrighted.
Give yourself such a pinch.
Sorry. Ow. I didn't actually.
Yeah, our 3-year anniversary, which I decided it's actually on the 13th of this month.
Oh, okay.
To be all official. But it was either 2 days early or 5 days late.
I see your decision.
Yeah, so I went with 2 days early for the release date. Right now, we're 5 days early.
That's all right.
I told you, Time Machine, good times.
I can't wait for it.
I decided I'd grab some of the little trivia things that have been floating around.
Oh?
I probably will have been going to have said this.
Yeah, the recording Monday and Wednesday, we do some time slip here.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I got a great transition out of the pyro sums, which you don't even know what those are yet.
No, I don't.
But
is that trivia?
Yes.
Okay.
Molecules, right?
Right.
Right. Let's start with ATP, adenosine triphosphate, the very molecule on the mugs that we have sent out as gifts.
Yes.
And the three people getting those mugs are regular listeners, so they will know what the molecule is now.
Mm-hmm.
So your body, when it's grabbing energy from that molecule, will break the phosphate group apart.
Okay.
And what is a phosphate group? Well, you got a phosphorus atom surrounded by oxygens.
Yay!
Yeah, one of them is a double bond. The rest of them are negatively charged oxygens. It's a minus three charge ion.
Gotcha.
A molecular ion. I'm sorry. It's good times. Anyway, you break those apart, and you get the energy that was stored in that bond.
Yeah, yeah.
Which shoves things apart with some force, and hey, you can harvest that to do things you otherwise couldn't do. Very important for, I don't know, breathing and so forth.
Everything. cell function.
But then later on, with the oxygen hanging around there to help power the whole reaction in your mitochondria, that phosphate group, gets stuck back on, and it goes back to being ATP.
Okay.
Recycling your own body weight of this stuff every day. It's the factoid I've heard. Oh. I haven't even tried to confirm or deny that one. Just
yeah, the there amount it is. Of math. Oh, my goodness. And they're so tiny.
Anyway, proteins.
We have those.
Those do all the work, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you have an enzyme,
mm-hmm.
If you looked at it, it would look like the mothership coming in, like this big, bulbous, roundy thing.
This is assuming that you're as small as
whatever they're working on. Yes, yeah. Exactly. This is along with the time machine. We got our shrink ray to work on.
I've seen the movie, yeah.
But anyway, there's a hole in it, a port. And inside that port would fit a particular molecule.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And it gets put in there, and the enzyme does something to it. Usually something that would happen chemically anyway, but the enzyme usually makes it happen much faster.
Aha.
You see all the usuallys here. Like your blood couldn't carry so much oxygen if it wasn't for the enzymes in your red blood cells.
Oh, okay.
Grabbing it in a hurry and giving it up in a hurry when necessary.
They're promiscuous.
Giving it up in a hurry. Well, we used to have a show called The Lab.
Nice. Isn't that bad?
Anyway, the problem with these things is there's no off button.
Okay, that is a problem.
Yeah, so how do you shut it down if you don't want that enzyme working anymore?
Other than death.
Lots of ways. Say, one thing you can do is plug the hole.
Okay.
So there you are, you're a cell, and you've got this enzyme, and it's been cranking away.
Uh-huh.
And you get a signal from some other cell that says, hey, we don't need so much of that.
Okay.
No more.
Right.
So that binds to one of your receptors.
Yeah.
Which is yet another protein.
Okay.
And changes its shape. By the way, I'm making up this particular pathway, but it's pretty typical.
Okay.
It changes its shape. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. It used to be a loop. Now it's a whip.
Okay. We're talking about the molecular diagram thing,
yep,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or perhaps you just opened up a port in this particular enzyme, which will now phosphorylate another protein. What does that mean? Well, apparently putting phosphates on and taking them off of molecules is like the favorite pastime of your cells.
I need energy. Let's get rid of these phosphate groups.
So there are places on these proteins where you can attach one of these phosphate groups.
Oh, okay.
And now you've got a negatively charged ion attach to your protein.
Okay.
Which can...
Seems unstable.
And often does. Attract another bit of the same protein.
Okay.
and change its shape, which can plug the hole.
Oh, wow. Like, it's complex chemical reactions to just do... To stop. Just stop.
Anyway, I was watching a Khan Academy video on this and reading one of their... I like Khan Academy.
Yeah. I've run into them cramming for tests and stuff. I'm a big fan.
Anyway, the guy was saying that most signal pathways, which is what they call these.
Okay.
You know, the signal comes in and then it does stuff inside the cell.
Stuff.
The diagram for this would look like a hairy ball.
Time to clean your mouse ball.
Hundreds or thousands of different signal pathways that interact with each other. Mm. And the point he made is that you could actually consider this as implementing logic.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I like that.
Say you need two molecules present for a particular reaction to take place.
Yeah.
There's your AND gate. Say either molecule by itself would be sufficient.
Sounds like an OR.
There's your OR gate. Yeah. I know we're talking computer science here.
I almost made it. all the good classes I didn't take, so.
This is right in there with looking at the Dorg and wondering whether or not it's vaguely biologically realistic. And the answer is no. these are my digital organisms. They live in a different world. I made up the physics. But there are things that are vaguely similar, like the Dorg. Every single one of them has a little logic engine embedded within it. And I was thinking, single cells, they don't do no logic.
I swear, we need to stretch the metaphor better.
Nothing like a good stretchy metaphor.
We can make them biological models, yes.
But anyway, that was all the trivia I wanted for Monday.
Oh.
I have plenty of trivia that I will have been going to have shared.
Here we are again. Okay.
And now.
Forgot about Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know it, but there is this awesome segue that just happened.
I'll take your word for it.
And now we're coming back out on Monday, and then, we're pretty much done.
Glad to be here. So, 3 years. It's the Dorg now. It was the figures before.
Mm-hmm.
When you first started this show, did you have any conception of doing a AI thing?
Oh, I'd played with him before.
Okay.
Before the Dorg and the figures were the nymphs and the grubs.
So you were coding
stuff.
And I
think one more. When I started this show, I don't think I was working on those projects. I put them away. In abject failure.
I got to do something. Start a podcast. Well, I don't know.
I was going to actually share how jellyfish stings work, but I looked it up and it turns out to be more complicated than I thought.
It's worth its own show, maybe?
I don't know.
I'm trying to predict the segue.
Did
I fail?
Yes.
Yes. Well, what else is new? Okay.
Yeah, we still got natural history to do.
That's right.
In fact, we got three more before the July 4th holiday comes around.
Mm.
And three more periods to cover. So Devonian, Carboniferous, or Carbonaceous. I always get those two confused.
Even though I don't blame you.
Only one of them is correct, but I can never remember which one. And then the Permian.
Okay.
And then we take a little break, and I don't know what's going to happen after that. But whatever happens, and whenever it happens... We'll see you then.
Bye.